Hey guys, welcome back to another fabulous episode of In Your Head with yours truly, Chris Medina. I got my boy Jay in the house co-hosting with me today. I'm going to go ahead and bring him on right now because I want to get the party started. Jay, what is up?
Hey.
So I want to keep this episode light. I want to keep it moving and I want to keep it fun. Uh-huh. I think we deserve it. A lot of us are coming off the field limping after this Mercury retrograde and these two eclipses and that goddamn moon wobble, whatever the fuck that is. A lot of us learned a lot of lessons during the season of Cancer that we're all still kind of feeling some type of way about it. We're letting the lessons absorb and we're taking everything in. So I'm not going to add insult to injury on today's episode. I want to keep it light. I want to keep it moving. I want to keep it fun. I've gotten so many people reaching out. Well, Ryan, I posted something on Instagram asking for suggestions or topics on today's episode. Mm-hmm. And he said, what should we expect now that Mercury's going direct? You can expect for things to finally resume. It is in the sign of Cancer. So this is going to be, to me, since it was retrograde at the beginning in the sign of Leo, that's all about pride. That's all about asserting yourself. That's all putting yourself out there. To me, it was in my seventh house of relationships. So that was me communicating to people, making sure that I didn't come across too assertive or too
harsh,
prideful. Because Leo can do that. Leo's me, me, me. Uh-huh. And Leo doesn't like to discuss feelings. It's ruled by the sun. So it's very much a very it's very optimistic. It's shining. It's wanting to just have a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. It went back and it went direct now in the sign of Cancer, still in my seventh house because Cancer rules part of my seventh house. So it's all about speaking with sensitivity. Mm-hmm. It's all about talking about feelings. It's making sure I don't come from a place of emotion when I'm speaking to people, mm-hmm. like getting irritated, letting my emotions get the better of me, or allowing the emotions of other people to get the better of them, and then taking it out on me. Mm-hmm. So making sure that you set boundaries, because Cancer is a very sensitive sign. Mm-hmm. You always know a Cancer because they always say, I feel. I don't like this because it makes me feel. I don't like the way you make me feel. So think about Mercury, which is communication, being in the sign of Cancer. It's crybaby.
Are you sure you're not a Cancer?
I'm absolutely positive I am not a Cancer. Thank God. I am a proud Taurus. I love being a fucking Taurus. It's what keeps me sane. But my Saturn and my Mars is in Cancer. And Mars, we all know, is our planet of action. It's how we assert ourselves and how we take action. Uh-huh. It's in the sign of Cancer. So thank God. To me, I'd rather have it in a water sign than in a fire sign, because in a fire sign, it would make me more aggressive. So this is one of the reasons why I sit on my pity pot a lot. I go within and I have little tantrums because Cancer's a crybaby. No disrespect to my Cancers out there. You guys know I love the shit out of you, but it makes us a little bit more sensitive. Your Mars is mm-hmm. in the sign of Scorpio, mm-hmm. which is just how you are. You will use what we have against us at times.
Okay.
But it makes for a good strategy. But anyway, so I want to keep it light. There's so much that I want to go over, but I don't want to come too hardcore with it and make it an angry episode, even though I have some shit that I want to say, but I've been really feeling like my guides have been holding me back just a little bit. Mm-hmm. Not in a negative way, but it's not time to strike yet. Mm-hmm. In my material self, my regular Chris self, because I always want to be direct, I always want to keep it moving, and I always want to get things off my chest, mm-hmm. wants to move faster than they're allowing me to. But this is all done for a reason. I said before, I know what the lesson is. How do I incorporate it? Mm-hmm. And there's been some revelations over this last Cancer season when it comes to people asking for readings and not liking what I have to say. Mm-hmm. That's not a me problem. That's not a Chris problem. That is a you problem.
Yeah.
You and I both know I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know about yourself. And my famous line is, at what point do you take action? Mm-hmm. At what point do you switch things around? That's not my responsibility. That's the lesson that I learned. Drop the message, get the fuck out of there.
Yeah.
And I'm doing it in a very positive way. I'm telling you, in order for you to get that relationship that you're looking for, or get that job, or have that opportunity come into play, you must be willing to do the work on yourself first. There is no avoiding that. Even if you were to get that opportunity without doing the work, you and I both know when opposition comes into play, because you haven't mastered that lesson yet, it's going to bring you back to step one. Don't gas yourself up and think that you're above it or you're above learning lessons, because karma always brings you back to that step one, which is you. fix yourself first. What are you hiding from? What are you worried about? Mm-hmm. This is you. You can take as long as you want, or you can go as quickly as you want. But make no mistake, you have to let those lessons absorb. And I've learned that not a lot of people want to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not my job or my responsibility to feel for them afterward, but I do. Because then I start to wonder, did I do more damage than I did good?
Mm-hmm. What does your guide say when you think that?
They say, keep going.
Mm-hmm.
And they start showing me the person for who they are. This is not a cop-out. This is not me saying, you just think you're invincible. You're a psychic. You can say whatever you want and not take any responsibility. That's not fucking true. I take more responsibility than I should when it comes to my readings.
Yeah, you do.
You know that.
Mm-hmm.
There's times where I've cried.
Mm-hmm.
And some of you people out there that I've given readings to over the phone, not to sound gay, but whenever you guys are going through something and it hits home because it's a lesson that I've learned in my lifetime, I will tell you guys, I'm not afraid to say this. I don't care what anybody says. Sometimes they will use it against me. Like I said, the last episode mm-hmm. where I talked about being suicidal,
mm-hmm.
they were just like, you know, oh, he was crazy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but feel. And my people out there, there was one girl from Brooklyn that I read over the weekend or last week that was just an amazing fucking soul. I was like 2 seconds away from crying and I'm like, I'm sorry, I have to take a step back because I'm getting a little emotional. I can't help it.
Yeah.
I just feel.
And that's what makes you so good at what you do, because you experience what they're experiencing.
And I just know how hard it is for you to have to go through it, but let me help you.
Mm-hmm.
And even if I can't help you or you don't want my help, trust that it's coming from a good fucking place. I would never say anything to hurt you. Why would I do that for? It's my reputation that's at stake here.
Mm-hmm.
You may not want to hear what I have to say. You may not want to accept it, but I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going into futuristic readings anymore and telling you shit that you want to hear or the coulda, shoulda, woulda. No, uh-uh. Because what that does is that gasses you up. And then that's the only takeaway that you take from that whole reading. We're not doing that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to tell you what the possibility is if you fix this one thing first.
Yeah.
But it's always going to bring you back. Do the work, people. Really, really take the time to do the work on yourself here. That's what these eclipses have taught me is, again, setting boundaries between me. A good majority of my clientele is women. The seventh house rules women.
Mm-hmm.
So it's making sure that you're asserting yourself in I guess to me, start off at being in Leo for me. This is just me personally. This isn't for everybody. Because it was in my seventh house, start off strong. Make sure that you're speaking from a place of pride. But I'm inflicting that pride on them. I'm telling them, pick yourself up. Take a good look in the mirror. Remember who you are. Reclaim your power. If you're not reclaiming your power because you haven't come into it yet, start coming into your power. Get in front of that mirror and dissect yourself. That's what Mercury retrograde in Leo means to me, especially my seventh house, when it comes to projecting it outward. And I have to do that to myself. There was a bunch of times this July, now that we're almost leaving it, where I caught myself looking at myself in the mirror and talking to myself. And mm-hmm. I know that sounds creepy and a little bit weird, but I had to do that. I had to take a real good look at myself. And I actually, you guys are going to think I'm fucking psycho, but I cried in front of the mirror.
Wow.
I wanted to see myself cry. And I wanted to hug myself.
Mm-hmm.
I know that sounds so fucking weird, but I wanted to love myself.
That self-love?
I needed that. I mm-hmm. needed to look in the mirror and remember who I was. And it brought me back to when I was a little kid. And I'm trying not to get emotional right now because it was not painful, but it was, look at how far you've come.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Look at everything that you went through, all that you've endured. Of course, there are people that are suffering from way worse than you've suffered from in your lifetime, but you made it and you're here.
Mm-hmm.
You are not the person that you were a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
You've evolved and you've grown. And I am a lot harder on myself than anybody could ever be on me. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like, I really, really know who I am and I struggle with that at times. And I found myself telling people during this time, when we hang up, I want you to take a real good look at yourself in the mirror and I want you to pat yourself on the back. And allow yourself the opportunity to heal. And again, when people come to me for psychic readings that I've never had a reading before, and they're younger than I am, I'm not going to lie, I get a little jealous. Because even being a psychic medium my entire life, I always tell my clients this, God damn you guys, for being in your early 20s and going through this right now, that you're stepping out and you're seeking the services of a psychic, that your guides have led you to this point. because they did not come to me really to get me on my path until my late 30s.
Mm-hmm. So they got like a head start.
They're getting a head start in life. And I'm like, this is what you need to hear. It has to happen now. The start of your transformation is happening now. Don't hold yourself back. Don't be like me at the age of 36, 37, having to go through this. Because it's painful as fuck. But it happened at the right time for me. Look at all the lessons that I had to go through in order to get me to that point.
Mm-hmm.
And it was pretty fucking hardcore. But these millennials, this younger generation, are wanting to learn their lessons now.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm loving it. So before I hang up with them, I tell them, I want you to look in the mirror and I want you to take a real good look at yourself and I want you to be proud of the person that you are. Even though that you don't feel it, apologize to yourself. Love yourself. Take yourself in. And that's what I did in the mirror. And I know, again, I'm not trying to sound crazy. And if anybody gives me shit for this, fuck off. Because to me, it's healing. Mm-hmm. To me, it's exactly what I needed. And when I say I cried, I saw myself as a young kid in all the things. One last thing, so much shit's coming in right now. Remember that movie Drop Dead Fred?
Mm-hmm.
That fucking movie was ahead of its time. Yes, it's comedy, but if you really dissect the meaning of all that shit, the takeaway from that, it just lit up in my fucking head. I was like, that's fucking right. So going back to the mirror, I saw myself as a little kid and it wasn't fair.
Mm-hmm.
But it wasn't my fault. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I took on the energy of my parents, the situations that I was in, and I felt like there was something wrong with me. I couldn't honor myself and I couldn't value myself.
Mm-hmm.
And going in and looking at myself in the mirror and realizing that, I looked at myself for a good 5 minutes. I know that sounds weird. Again, I'm going to stop saying that because the audience hates when I say sounds weird. Yeah, that I'm crazy. They're like, you're not crazy. We want to hear this. For 5 minutes, I looked at myself and I brought myself from a child to my teenage years, to my adult years, to where I'm at now. And they were showing me all the progress and all the things that I've learned. And the one thing that was always holding me back or the one thing that stood in my way was always me and my feelings and the way that I chose to handle things. Because I feel so much and I want everybody to feel good, even at my own detriment, sometimes where I would put everybody else in front of me, it's because I care so damn much.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm telling you something that you don't want to hear, this is not a shot at your character or who you are. It's because I see your worth, even though you don't see yours. That's the fucked up thing, is that I can look at somebody and underneath that pile of shit that they put over themselves, I see their true self and their worth there. And that sucks to be able to see all that stuff and that person not. So again, I'm not taking your hope away. I want you to be the best version of yourself. And I know that's not my job to want that for you or my job to make it happen for you. That's going to be all you. But when you're my friend or you're somebody that I care about, even like my clients, I tell my clients all the time, even when I make a connection with them, I'm not saying I make connections with all my clients, but a good majority of them I do. And we end up being fucking friends. I can't help it.
Mm-hmm.
I feel for that person. Like I said, sometimes I'll get emotional on the phone.
Yeah.
I just want you to see your worth here. I want you to get over it because to me, it's just a small lesson, but I keep forgetting that you have to go through it sometimes.
Mm-hmm. So it's a small lesson in your eyes, but it's a big lesson for them.
It's an emotional lesson that they don't want to put themselves through.
Mm-hmm.
But to me, it's like once we rip that off, we don't have to go back to that anymore.
Mm-hmm.
We can evolve and we can grow. Allow yourself the opportunity to go through the lesson and be able to incorporate it in the future. Trust yourself enough to know, like you did before, as a kid, you touched the stove, you knew it was hot. You didn't do that again. Give yourself the opportunity to learn the lesson and to incorporate it into your life and trust in the fact that you're not going to repeat old patterns.
Mm-hmm.
And if you do, remind yourself, you've already done that. Snap yourself out of it. But again, like I said before, I'm not telling you anything that you don't already know here. I want to take that lesson away from you and I want you to go through it so we can get to the relationship, we can get to the better job, we can get to the move, we can get to you actually walking down your fucking path. But you're not going to be able to walk down your path until you go through that dark tunnel and go through all that shit first, right?
Yeah.
But people aren't wanting to do that. And it sucks, but it's not my responsibility. So my guides really taught me that lesson. You got to stop overfeeling for people. You got to remember this that as being a business at times,
mm-hmm.
because that's what it is. That's why doctors don't get involved with their patients.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they don't establish. I can't help it. I feel too much. There's some really, really good fucking people out there. that are struggling, but they're good people none the fucking less. Mm-hmm. I can't help but feel for them. But that was my lesson, is set boundaries with people, emotional boundaries, and you can't take on the energy. And I'm not going to lie, I slipped back. There was an issue where I came out of pocket,
mm-hmm.
and I caught myself. And the reason why I posted this was because I wanted people to realize yet again that I'm human at the end of the day. That even though I'm a psychic medium, I still have my faults and I'm flawed like everybody else.
Mm-hmm.
So I put, practice what you preach. And I said, I'm guilty of stepping into the shit of the flock of sheep left behind.
Mm-hmm.
I'm guilty of that at times. It's human nature.
Yeah.
How I choose to react to it is a different fucking story. And I really, really, again, I'm guilty of it, you guys. Feel free to slap me in the head of falling into that fucking trap.
Uh-huh.
My guides were like, uh-uh. And you know who else? Goddamn this bitch, too. Sarah Freeman. She, you guys, this girl, I mean, just met her. And she was like, don't do it. Don't do it. She's mm-hmm. like, you're better than this. And she was like, practice what you preach. And I was like, you're right. You are 100% right. I'm going to put this out there again. You guys, even our good friends will tell us shit that we don't want to fucking hear, but it's within our best interest to listen to it.
Mm-hmm.
And I took the lesson for what it was. I incorporated it, and I was a little bit down on myself because I felt victim to it, but I'm human, just like you guys are, and I'm guilty of the same shit, but it's our way of thinking that snaps us the fuck out of it. Keep it moving. Don't fall into that pit. Don't repeat old patterns. Don't take yourself back down that trip of memory lane when you don't need to anymore. Close that fucking door. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
But enough with that. Like I said, I want to keep things light. I learned the lesson. Let me just recap this here. Mercury retrograde in the sign of Leo, in the sign of Cancer, with me setting boundaries with the public, my relationships, my partnerships, women, and owning that energy and projecting it outward and making sure that it is seen. It's in the sign of Capricorn, in my first house. So it's all about setting structure and coming across in a very structured way. And that's me. That's Saturn. It's lessons learned. And I learned the lesson. Was it fucking hard? Absolutely. Did I hate it? Absolutely. But like I said before, so many of our soldiers are coming off the field and we are wounded, but we're feeling good. We all survived this. Give ourselves a pat on the back. One last thing, going back to the mirror, take time to go within and look at yourself. Really look at yourself. Really see everything that you've accomplished. Be proud of who the fuck you are. Stop hindering yourself from life. Stop hindering yourself from emotion. You're going to have to go through it anyways. This is how you discover who you are. This is how you learn your lessons. Allow yourself the opportunity to feel. Again, if it's an icky feeling or you don't want it or you don't like where it's going, remember, you always have the right to pump your own fucking brakes and turn the car in a different direction. You don't have to go through it, but you can't avoid lessons. You can't.
Mm-hmm.
Your car is going to run out of gas. You're going to have to stop and fill it up.
That's a good one.
Don't be dumb like me and run on empty until AAA has to come and bail us out. Remember those last time? Those couple of times.
What an idiot you are.
Okay, so let's switch things around here. Let's talk about our weekend. We went to two parties, 2 days in a row, which is unheard of for us.
Yep.
We don't do that shit. We are very much, as soon as 8 o'clock hits, we're winding down and watching TV and getting ready for fucking bed. I'm an old ass bitch. I don't have the gas in my tank anymore to stay up all night. But Hannah Brown had her 28th birthday party, or her 29th. I think it was 28. I'm trying to remember the balloons that Annabelle had.
Mm-hmm.
We celebrated it at Bigfoot Lodge in Los Feliz. It's a cool bar.
It's fun.
It was, the drinks were hard as fuck.
Yeah.
And I babysat that drink for like 3 hours, which I never do. But it was good to see everybody there. We made some interesting connections with people.
Mm-hmm.
I gave a couple of ratings like I normally do. That's just what I do. It was a good time.
Yeah,
it was. Annabelle DeSisto was there. God, you know, I'm feeling buzzed when I'm taking pictures. And we got a couple of good pictures in. Annabelle had me almost face down in her boobs. I looked like I was one of them. That's part of the perks of being gay.
Is it now?
It's like I get to go where no man gets to go sometimes. And, but it was good to see her. I loved it. I had a really, really good time. Hannah looked beautiful. She was the queen of the night. Really, really good energy. Really good crowd. And then the next day was my girl, Marissa Mendez's birthday.
Mm-hmm.
That's my baby. that I was looking forward to. This is the second year in a row that I've celebrated a birthday with her. Mm-hmm. Last year was at Delicious Vinyl in Culver City, which is actually right down the street from where she had her party this year.
Mm-hmm.
Marissa loves Culver City for some reason. I think it's because it's neutral.
Mm-hmm.
So we got to do that. The house was fucking amazing.
Yeah, it was.
It was a big, beautiful fucking mansion. Shout out to Joyce Adams. Girl, if I ever need a party planner at the spur of the moment, I'm calling your ass. She went above and beyond.
It was amazing.
It looked like Candyland threw up all over the place, but in a good way. She had decorated it and had gone beyond expectation. There was pregnancy tests. There was condoms with Nova, which is Marissa's dog, his face on the condoms. There was candy everywhere. There was food everywhere. Marissa's dude, Penny, mm-hmm. was the grill master of the night, fucking serving up hamburgers and hot dogs and all kinds of good shit.
Mm-hmm.
And there was some really good fucking people there.
Yeah, it was.
I met two really good guys at the end of the night. We started off with Marissa there, mm-hmm. and she was, she was feeling good. It was just a good fucking time.
Yeah, it was.
I love her. I wasn't going to miss that at all. Mm-hmm. But we had some trouble earlier that day. It was fucking busy. I was doing readings for the first part of the day and then had to go make that appearance later on that day.
Mm-hmm.
And then shout out to Joyce one more time. Girl, I am sorry that I dropped the ball. I was supposed to help her with the party planning. And on Thursday, I realized, fuck, you didn't check in with Joyce. So I hit her up and I was like, oh my God, my love, I'm so sorry. I said, I totally dropped the ball with you when it came to planning this party or whatever. I was so busy and caught up with work that I'm sorry that I'm getting to you now. She's like, don't worry about it. She's like, you're a busy man. She's like, I know how busy you are. Don't worry about it. She's like, it's all good. I said, okay. So come Saturday, she hits me up and they had been partying since Friday. So everybody there at the mansion was fucked up from Friday morning until Saturday night when we got there.
Uh-huh.
And she was like, would you do me the hugest favor? She's like, you can totally say no. And I was like, I'm not going to say no. It's the least I could fucking do. She was like, can you go pick up the cake?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, yeah, sure. Where is it? And she's like, in Rancho Cucamonga. And I was like, fuck. And so I looked it up and it was going to take us like 2 hours to get there.
It literally took us like 3 hours.
It took us 3 hours to get there because that fucking traffic, mm-hmm. that's like going towards Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
So we went and picked up the cake. I really wish that I had the name of the place. I want to say it's like Sweet Cakes or something like that. The woman that made it was really, really nice. That cake that she had put together for Marissa, it was a Candyland cake,
mm-hmm.
was like nothing I've ever seen before. It was just a beautiful fucking cake. It had like all the bells and whistles on it. It had jawbreakers on it, candy. There was fucking donuts and ice cream cones attached to it. And then when you cut that bitch open, it bled out sprinkles. I was like, how is somebody so creative like that that can come up with shit like that? Because
mm-hmm.
I can't even draw a stick figure on a fucking piece of paper. But it was an amazing fucking time. I was so nervous with that cake. I was like, oh my God. First of all, I'm a very offensive and defensive driver.
Aggressive driver.
Aggressive. Thank you. I, especially driving in LA. So remember, we had to take the 210 all the way over to Rancho. And then after that, we had to jump on the 60 to the 10. And everybody knows that the 60 to the 10 is like traffic city. And they were doing some construction on the road. It was very stop and go. And I kept thinking, oh my God, this cake is going to fall. It's going to hit the floor. She had warned us not to touch the sides of the cake because the ice cream cones that were attached to it were very delicate. And then it can crush it. So I was like, fuck. So I was kind of driving like Miss Daisy a little bit.
No, you weren't.
Oh God.
I was holding it. I was like, oh man. I was like, the road was bumpy. It was like rattling. Like, I thought like the cake would
fall off.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I did my best. We got there safe and sound with the cake without mm-hmm. any fucking problems. Got to the party. Again, met some really good people. Had a good time. I didn't get to drink. Everything caught up to me that night. Remember, we've been sober for a week now. Yeah. Going on 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And fuck anybody that says there's no withdrawal symptoms after smoking weed.
Oh, there is.
Oh, there is. There is. I lose sleep. I sweat beyond fucking belief.
More than usual.
Yes. And fucking headache galore.
Yeah.
And I haven't been sleeping. So on Saturday, when everything started to wind down and I realized finally we're here at the party, everything's done and over with, my headache came in.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like a fucking siren going off in my head. Marissa was already feeling good. And she said she was going to go inside to change, but she was gone for like an hour. And then we didn't see her. And I was like, let's just go. She's probably asleep. And then we're going to party later.
Mm-hmm.
So we ended up leaving. We had to pull over because we didn't have any Tylenol in the car. And I bought Advil PMs and fucking took those. was out like a light until 1 o'clock the next day.
Yeah.
I fucking needed it. With all, like I said, our soldiers are coming off the field limping. It's been an emotional fucking cancer season with the two eclipses and this retrograde and that moon wobble shit that it finally caught up to me. But I slept my fucking ass off, got up on Sunday and just chilled.
Mm-hmm.
Went within, did me, decided that I was going to do some unloading. I was actually going to get in the car and go for a drive, but that never happened. I just ended up staying home, just listening to music and just kind of chilling out and doing me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah. I'm glad the energy's finally gone. So like I said, I want to keep things light. I want to keep it funny and I want to keep it moving. I did Screwed Up Stories.
Yeah.
With Rachel O'Brien and Christine Blackburn a few months ago or a couple months ago.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about my phone sex days. People are writing in left and right, emailing, asking about my phone sex days. Remember something, you guys. I am old as fuck. Back then when I did it, it was 1993. We were still using telephones, landlines. That's how we did phone sex. And it was one of the most amazing jobs that I've ever had the pleasure of working. I went in there thinking it was going to be customer service, and they told me that it was going to be selling adult entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
Selling adult entertainment. I'm like, okay, so what is that, like dildos or like, you know, toys and shit? They were like, no, it's phone sex.
Mm-hmm.
And I've told you this before, and you don't fucking believe it.
I don't.
I am gay. My voice says it all. It's very feminine now. Can you imagine what it was like when I was younger? I was able to disguise my voice like a woman to a fucking teeth. People were none the fucking wiser. And you can kiss my ass because I've got people like my cousin, the psychic, and my other cousin that you've spoken to that have said, oh no, nobody could tell the fucking difference.
You should do an episode with your girl voice.
I was thinking about starting off this episode doing phone sex. Like starting it off and doing like a little bit of a skit from my phone sex days.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard your girl voice ever before, so I really want to hear it.
No, I'm not going to indulge you with that. I just trust in the fact that I did it. I worked for like three different phone sex companies within 2 years. I started off at one big ass one in Woodland Hills, California. This, you guys would think that it would be ghetto. But mm-hmm. It looked like a customer service department, but it was phone sex. It was this huge ass building they had rented out. They had put cubicles everywhere with just a phone in there. There was no computer screens, nothing like that. Just a phone that you talked from. You would have meetings before your shift started. You would meet in the meeting room and discuss whose team you were going to be on, what you were going to be doing. But let me back up to my interview there. I've said this before. I went in there not knowing what the adult entertainment services were going to be that I was going to be providing. Again, thought it was going to be selling dildos or toys and things like that. When they told me it was actual phone sex, I was like, I was made for this. you gotta be fucking shitting me. Like, did I just strike gold here? They were like, oh, okay, well, are you okay with it? And I was like, yeah, I'm right up my fucking alley. So I interviewed with the manager and one of the supervisors there, and they had said, you know, well, we're not hiring men right now, but we'd like to interview you, keep your resume on file, or your resume, believe it or not, resume and your application on file, and we'll give you a call should we need another male entertainer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, no, I want to do the female side of it. And they were like, oh no, we've tried this before and our callers know the difference. And we've had to refund people money because they found out.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, I guarantee they won't find out that I'm a man. I promise you. They were like, oh, I don't know. I said, just give me one shot. I said, what do you have to lose?
Mm-hmm.
I said, why don't you go in the other room and you call me in here? Because there was a phone in that conference room. And she was like, they started laughing. I kind of joked around with them. You know how I am when I start to get under their skin or whatever.
Yeah.
I start to, you know, get to the core of them. They start fucking laughing, having a good time. They're like, okay. So they decided to indulge me in this. So they went into the room. They called me. I picked up the phone. They had me describe what a banana split was like,
mm-hmm.
in this girl voice. They ran from the manager's office all the way to the conference room to see if that was really me on the phone. I was hired right then and there. I don't give it. Look at his. You guys, we got to record these episodes. You need to look at his fucking face right now because he does not believe me. I worked there. I started off making $14 an hour in 1993. At my age, that's unheard of. Plus bonuses, because when you seek phone sex services,
mm-hmm.
they bill your card for just a half an hour because it can run up. It's by the minute. So you're maxed out after a half an hour and then the call just ends. They tell the caller that. So if you max out a caller at a half an hour and the phone cuts off, you get a bonus on top of your wages.
Oh, wow.
I was bawling at this fucking time. I maxed every single caller out pretty much. Some of them you can't help, because sometimes they just call in and they just want to get off. And I'll get into all that in a second. But during this time that I was working there, like I said, it's a normal fucking company. They had report cards they would give you. Mm-hmm. They would, you know, pull you aside and say, here's what you did wrong. You can't say this. There's obviously some things you can't talk about. You can't talk about, like, bestiality. Mm-hmm. You can't talk about kids, obviously. And you can't talk about, like, rapes or things like that. Mm-hmm. It's got to – there is some rules when it comes to that. You just can't go balls to the wall with it.
Uh-huh.
And so – I was like, okay, fine. I would never want to talk about kids. I never want to talk about fucking having sex with animals. Anyways, I'm good with that shit. And they would give you report cards, and mine were just A+, 100% all the way down, maxed mm-hmm. out callers. And people always ask, what kind of calls did you get? These calls were just, you would not believe how many disgusting fucking people are out there. But at the same time, it was funny. You gotta go back to that time in my life. I was 17 going on 18 at the time, lived a very, very fast life. I started partying and doing shit at the age of 14. So by the time I was like 21, I had done everything that I wanted to do as far as like partying and things that I needed to see. The people that worked there, let me back up, because they were probably some of the best people that I've ever met in my entire life. There was obviously escorts that worked there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the high end. There was also some street people that did, you know, things on the street.
Uh-huh.
And there was also a bunch of people that were on drugs. And very much like Studio 54, the movie, we'd all get there because my shift started at 11:30 or at 11 o'clock and ended at 7 in the morning. So I worked the graveyard shift. And we would all meet in the meeting room. And there was a bunch of us that were really, really close that partied all the time with each other. And just like on Studio 54, you know, when they had that plate and everybody puts what they got for the night, they have drugs and stuff. People would put coke in there, there'd be weed, there would be speed. Back then there was this pill called Vibrin, and that's like to stay awake. It's a stay awake type of pill. It's something that keeps you up and going.
Uh-huh.
You used to crush those and snort those. And so we would all get all fucking hyped on this shit before our shift started and fucking take phone calls. It just made it fun. It just, everybody was having a good time. So when we got to the calls, sometimes you're out there and you're trying to get them to come on the phone and they're just really quiet. You can tell they're on the phone because the light lighting up that they're on the other end. And so you would, you know, have to say, you know, hey, who's, I'm not going to do the voice. I'm not going to indulge.
Can you hear them like touching themselves?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. You can hear them touching themselves. So they would get on the phone. They would be really quiet and I'd be like, hey, who's out there? Oh my God. I'm so hot today. It's a summer day. God, it's so hot. You don't mind if I take my bra off, do you? I just kind of want to let everything loose. Oh, I feel so much better. God, I might as well take my panties off, too. And then they start to... Ugh. Ugh. And then I would look at my friend, I'm like, now they're starting to talk. So then you start talking about taking off your panties and all this shit here. And, oh my God, what I wouldn't love for you to do to me and blah, blah, blah. And they start participating. And I would be like, is there anybody out there that wants to touch me? I just want somebody to put their hands on me. Well, I do. You know, they start coming on, and boom, they start talking shit. Some of them come on with straight-up comedy. There was this one guy. I am not being racist. I am not being prejudiced in any way, shape, or form here. But sometimes these guys call in just to want to talk. They're high. They're stoned. They got their buddies there. This one guy called in, and he was like, I want to fuck the smelliest bitch that you have there. And I was like, what? And he was like, yeah, I want to fuck the smelliest bitch that you have there. I'm into fucking smelly women. And I was fucking dying. You got to remember something. I was high on weed, also on coke. I think I might have been a little bit drunk. And you already know my sense of humor. Mm-hmm. I love crass shit. I love when people talk shit or just get disgusting and they just start, you know, talking shit. And I couldn't help but die. I was laughing. I kept having to mute the phone. He would say, stop muting the phone. I want to hear you laugh. It gets me off. And I was like, okay. So I just unmuted the phone and would keep laughing. There was one guy that called and I wasn't having it. I was just coming off. I had done so much fucking blow the night before, whatever, that I was in a bad mood when I got to work. And I was just very much like, I'm not doing shit today. Don't even ask me to get on that fucking phone. I'm not doing anything today. And people were like, oh, he's in a fucking bad mood. So this guy called in and he was like, I want you to take your clothes off. I want to fuck you, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, not tonight. And he's like, what? And I was like, not tonight. And he's like, what do you mean not tonight? I want you to get me off. And I was like, well, you happened to catch me at a bad time. And he was like, why? He's like, are you on your period? And I was like, I go, it's something like that. And I go, I'm just like in a transitional phase right now. I'm really, really considering my future. And he's like what? Like going to college and like giving this up? He's like, you don't want to be a whore anymore? I was like, you know what? No, I don't. I'm actually thinking about giving myself to God. And he was like, you gotta fucking be kidding me. He's like, what for? And he was like, what do you look like? And I was like, well, I'm about, you know, 5'6". I got long brown hair. You know, I've got decent sized titties. My pussy's really nice, blah, blah, blah. He's like, you're willing to give that all up to God? And I was like, yeah, I just don't feel like fucking anymore. And he was like, I bet I can change your mind. And I was like, well, I don't know. I was like, because it just feels so wrong. Like when I look at my breast or I look at my pussy, like I'm having a hard time accepting the fact that this has become my life. And he was like, I don't believe it. He saw, he did everything he could to talk me out of giving myself to God. By the end of it, I had maxed him out, obviously. He got nothing out of it.
He was trying to convince you to keep your
he
job.
He was trying to convince me to keep my job. Like I said, it was just the best time of my life. I went to another phone sex company where it was ghetto as hell. There was this girl, God, I want to say her name, but I can't. She would take the bus and she lived, I think, in South Central. The company that we worked at was in Van Nuys. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a fucking, it's a ride. And she, her profession during the day was phone sex in real life. She was a escort mm-hmm. or a low grade hooker.
Mm-hmm.
Again, no disrespect, because some of my better friends were those types of people back then. Mm-hmm. I really resonated with them. I really, really liked who they were. I know it sounds gross, maybe sound a little bit too far out there, but they are really, really good people.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they are able to disconnect sexually is what intrigued me the most about them. Mm-hmm. Because I thought that I was weird for being able to disconnect sexually and just do it for the sake of fucking.
Mm-hmm.
It's a whole different beast with these women. But anyway, so she would take the bus in from South Central to Van Nuys, and she was ghetto as all fucking hell, and she would come in notoriously talking shit, and I loved everything about her. Her and I were really, really close. And she had come in, and I was like, girl, you are late. I said, I just did a call without you, you know, blah, blah, blah. She's like, I'm sorry, baby. She's like, but I got a bone to pick with y'all. And I was like, what did we do now? And she was like, all y'all do is want to hound me on the goddamn bus and shit and want to flirt with me and talk shit, thinking I'm going to give the pussy up for free, blah, blah, blah. She goes, I got to tell you another thing, too. She's like, y'all stink. And I was like, stink. And you have to remember something. Again, I'm a kid. I'm 17 years old. I think 18 at this job. Hearing a grown ass, she must have been in her 30s, mm-hmm. early 30s, and she's way older than I am. Hearing all this shit, talking all this shit, and I'm fucking dying. I don't know, you know, I don't know anything else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like, she goes, and y'all stink. I'm telling you right now, I almost shit my ass right there. I fell out of the chair. I was fucking dying. And she's the kind of bitch that would wear, back then, well, this is the early 90s, but remember back in the, when you were just a kid, back in the 80s, they used to cut sweaters. Like sweatshirts,
mm-hmm.
like not hoodies with the hoods on them, but just regular plain sweaters, mm-hmm. sweatshirts. And they would, the girls would cut them and they would make them into like little half tops.
Mm-hmm.
And, but still keep the sleeves on.
Yeah.
And the part on the bottom would roll up. Mm-hmm. It would start to, you know, get frayed and roll up or whatever.
Yeah.
She cut hers too short and she wasn't wearing a bra. So when she reached over to pick up the phone, her titties fell out.
Mm-hmm.
She made no fucking, no attempt to cover them up. She would look at me. She would tease me with it. She would pinch her nipple and squirt it my way.
Squirt, but
she would be like, beep, beep. Best fucking time was working fucking phone sex. I even did it from home. I moved with my boyfriend to Washington State back in like 95 or 96. And they had a phone sex company out there and I got to do it from home.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you, making so much money working from home, maxing callers out, that there were a couple of times where I was actually doing the real thing over the phone.
Mm-hmm.
And they were none the fucking wiser. Like, those, I'm telling you, phone sex was the best fucking time. If you guys are ever looking for a fast way to make money, do phone sex. You can do it from fucking home.
I thought you were going to say, if you're looking for a good time, call you.
You can do that too. But yeah, but that's my phone sex days, you guys. I know, like I said, I want to keep this episode light. I want to keep it fun. I want to keep it moving. People were asking about it. Those were probably the best times of my life back then. I mean, God, I miss the good old fucking days where things were simple. Things were easier. Best time was working phone sex. It led to other things, too. I worked for a Hollywood madam for a little bit.
Uh-huh.
Oh, God. This girl was like, she was petite. She was like only like 5'2". She actually took over the business from somebody that actually overdosed.
Uh-huh.
It was a friend of a friend of ours. And me and my other friend were kind of like, okay, well, how can we kind of keep this thing going because she's a fucking idiot,
mm-hmm.
and keep the other girl's legacy alive? Mm-hmm. And I know that sounds fucked up because, again, we're dealing with escorts.
Mm-hmm.
But she was one of the biggest Hollywood madams. She wasn't Heidi Fleiss.
Mm-hmm.
It was after the Heidi Fleiss days, after Heidi had gotten busted. But those, I'm telling you right now, there's a couple of people that I follow on social media that are all about strippers, escorts, and things like that. Like I've said before, a lot of people talk shit about those types of girls,
mm-hmm.
but they are, believe it or not, really good fucking people. Some of my best friends, again, were escorts, hookers, and those types of chicks.
Mm-hmm.
They're hood. They don't fuck around. And I love the fact that they have the hustler type mentality. That's mm-hmm. why I'm so attracted to Little Kim.
Yeah.
Because when she came out speaking all the shit she was speaking, I was already doing all that mm-hmm. stuff.
You resonated with her message.
Like, yeah. I was like, holy fuck. And this is a woman.
Mm-hmm.
This is a petite woman who's beautiful, that has amazing style. She came out with all these fucking different wigs and was owning her sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I was all about that in the 90s.
Yeah.
I was ahead of my time. I've told people this. People don't believe it. I was not afraid to experiment with my style, do different things. It's when I started dating that fucked me up.
Mm-hmm.
Getting involved with guys that were just emotionally manipulative, that were horrible to me, that really did a number on my self-esteem. So again, when people ask, why do you love Kim so much? It's because I resonate with her.
Yeah.
I resonate with her message. I resonate with her struggle. She is really was ahead of her time at that time. Not a lot of women were doing what she was doing. And to have somebody come out and have like an anthem like that, or, mm-hmm. you know, it was just, to me, it was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like I said, I ended up working for that Hollywood madam for a little bit. She was a major bitch, because she was just like all over the place and stuff. But it was a good fucking time.
Sounds like it.
It was a really good fucking time. And if I can go back to those days just for a split second, just to bring some of that laughter and some of that freedom and that, just that,
those good times
back in, I would do it for a split second.
I want to see you back then. I wonder how much.
I was different.
Yeah.
Way different. I had blonde hair. I wore green contacts. This is before, I'm telling you right now, this is before Kim came out with green contacts and blonde hair. Uh-huh. I was doing that already too. So when she came out, I was like, this just adds more to it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I wasn't afraid to fucking switch it up. I used to dress like it wasn't always an all black.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get back to those days. But again, men come in, or I'm not going to blame it all on men because I had a part to play in that as well.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was a good fucking time. People are asking, like I said, you know, about the phone sex days, what it was like for me growing up and what I did. That was my scene.
Mm-hmm.
It was sex, drugs, and cash. I know, ask anybody that I hung out with. That's uh-huh. what I used to hang out with, nothing but girls.
Uh-huh.
I love women. I love especially a boss bitch type of mentality. That's why I resonate with Marissa so much,
mm-hmm.
because she's got that boss bitch mentality.
Definitely.
She doesn't fucking hold back. She makes no excuses for who she is. She's raw. She's in your fucking face, and she's beautiful, and she flaunts her sexuality.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good woman like that. Nothing against the ones that don't want to do that, but that's what I'm used to.
Yeah.
And I grew up with my cousin. You know, my cousin and I were really close growing up. She was 4 years younger than I was. My other psychic cousin that's a year younger than I am, that was our crew.
Mm-hmm.
We just, I mean, they were beautiful fucking women, and I got the opportunity to party with them and just be a part of all that shit. Good fucking times. But yeah, I wanted to incorporate some of those stories on today's episode. Like I said, I wanted to keep it light. I wanted to keep it moving. I know we are all over this, but I am so fucking glad that Mercury retrograde is coming to an end, that we are done with these eclipses, and the energy can finally start moving forward. We've always had it in us to move forward. It's just with me, like I've said before, it's just too much energy taking on the energy of other people that I got stuck in my own shit,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah.
So one last thing, and then I'm done with this. Shout out again to Sarah Fruman. Shout out to Michelle Prentice and to my girl, Kate. We are 95% sold out with tickets. So if you are looking to change your life, looking to be a part of this Joshua Tree event that we are doing in September, you better hurry up and get your fucking tickets now. They are selling out fucking fast. I think, believe it or not, I think there's only like 4 tickets left.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last thing that I heard from Sarah, I believe, is 4 tickets left.
Yeah.
Let's sell this event out. Let's really, really go into this, and let's really take the time to heal, come to an understanding of who we are, and unravel some of these layers that we wrapped ourselves in over the years. It's time to start coming into who you are and making a difference in your own life. And that's what this event is all about. We are here to help you. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
You've got, I'm going to say, a world-renowned psychic.
You've got
a world-renowned astrologer. And you got a world-renowned healer and yoga master.
Mm-hmm.
What more do you need? You get the insight. You get the paperwork to take with you. And you get the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling of freedom. You guys, this event is going to be an amazing fucking time. I am so excited for it. I cannot wait to do my thing. I cannot wait to see all these faces. I can't wait to put this one on and then do one immediately afterward. It's going to be fucking amazing. And I can't wait for people to start sharing their testimonials when it comes to it.
I'm excited.
So you guys, get your tickets. I think, again, if I'm not mistaken, there's only 4 left. Go visit schoolofsparkles.com. Sign up for the event that we're having in Joshua Tree September 13th through the 15th. And come change your life. For those of you looking for insight, guidance, wanting to know what's holding you back before you can get the job of your dream, the woman or man of your dreams, hit me up for a half an hour session. ChrisMedina.guide. Again, that's ChrisMedina.guide. Let's start off with a half an hour session. That's plenty of time to tell you what you need to hear and to get you moving. For those of you wanting to see more of me on social media, see who I'm hanging out with, whose boobs I'm face deep into, visit my social media outlets. At Psychic Chris M. Again, that's at Psychic Chris M. Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. For those of you wanting to drop ideas for the show, wanting to reach out and say hi, having questions about some of the topics that we were talking about, wanting to know how you can get somebody off on the phone like I did back in the day, don't be afraid to hit us up. askinyourhead@gmail.com. Again, that's askinyourhead@gmail.com. Feel free to drop by and say hi. Feel free to drop show ideas. Feel free to ask questions about my ability, your ability. We'd love to hear from you. Again, that's askinyourhead@gmail.com. This is Chris Medina with my boy, my sidekick, my bestie, Jay, saying we are out.
Bye.